This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The final countdown. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, November 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump and rival Joe Biden are making their final pitches with Election Day tomorrow. Hear sounds from the campaign trail.
As coronavirus cases rise, new restrictions are in place in states like Illinois and Michigan.
The FBI says it's looking into a caravan of Trump supporters who surrounded a Biden campaign bus as it traveled a highway in Texas.
And schools consider strategies for how to use their supply of rapid COVID tests.
Primarily, you know, they said use these to help reopen schools, help schools stay open, and to reopen your economy. So what I found is that a lot of states are in fact looking to use these tests in schools, but it's not quite as easy as just saying, okay, here you go, school nurse, conduct the testing.
Mary Ellen McIntyre at CQ Roll Call on schools managing coronavirus testing kits. President Trump is taking nothing to chance, visiting a flurry of battleground states in the final hours before Election Day tomorrow. At a late-night rally in Florida last evening, he suggested he may fire Dr. Anthony Fauci after the election. Mr. Trump also voiced concerns about counting votes beyond Election Day. Earlier in the day, he sought to pump up voters in Michigan and at a stop in Rome, Georgia.
Our opponents want to turn America into communist Cuba or socialist Venezuela. And we're not going to let that happen.
Meanwhile, Democratic challenger Joe Biden tried to shore up the key prize of Pennsylvania. The former vice president was in Philadelphia yesterday.
I believe the message is going to be clear. It's time for Donald Trump to pack his bags and go home.
Mr. Biden is expected to continue campaigning with stops in Pennsylvania and Ohio today. Meanwhile, news organizations may call a race if a candidate is clearly ahead, but results are considered unofficial until all votes are counted and certified, a process that often takes weeks. The FBI says it's investigating an incident in which a convoy of vehicles flying flags in support of President Trump surrounded a tour bus carrying campaign staff for Democratic challenger Joe Biden. Mr. Biden was not on the bus. Video footage showed a group of pickup trucks and SUVs bearing pro-Trump flags surrounding the Biden campaign bus as it traveled north along Interstate 35 between San Antonio and Austin. Democrats accused the president of encouraging supporters to engage in acts of intimidation. The president did not see it that way.
You see the way our people, they were protecting his bus yesterday because they're nice.
Special Agent Michelle Lee, a spokeswoman for the FBI in San Antonio, told Reuters in an email that the agency is investigating. Meanwhile, the Texas Supreme Court yesterday rejected a challenge by state Republicans who want to throw out early balloting from drive-through voting sites in Democratic-leaning Harris County. Well, as you know, in 2016, problems with state-level election polls left some voters surprised by the outcome. Since then, many pollsters have made changes in the hope of accurately capturing the mood of the country ahead of the 2020 election. In-depth analysis from Aaron Zittner, news editor at The Wall Street Journal. Aaron, explain.
If you were setting your expectations about the 2016 election based on the polls, you were probably surprised by the outcome. And the professional group of pollsters said, gee, we got to figure out what happened here. And they got a group of experts together and did a study. And what they found was that the national polls were pretty good. In fact, they had a better year than most in picking, polls don't like to predict the future, but they had a pretty good handle on the popular vote. Mm. You know, in the end, they had Hillary Clinton up by 3 or 4 points, and she won the popular vote by 2. But as we all know, winning the popular vote didn't get Hillary Clinton the White House. And the surprise was in states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Wisconsin, where polls were tight, but they almost uniformly had Hillary Clinton ahead of President Trump, and we all know what happened. The president won those states. So what went wrong? Three things that they could point to in the main. One is there was a late swing toward the president among undecided voters, an unusually large block, and it was about 16% nationally in our Wall Street Journal, NBC News polling, hadn't picked a candidate, you know, by the last couple of weeks of the campaign. That's a big group of people hanging out there. And in the end, they swung very heavily toward President Trump. In some states, the president won these undecided voters at the end by a margin of 30 points. In some states, he won them by a margin of 17 points. That's a big swing.
Yeah.
And polls didn't pick that up.
How does that come to be, Aaron?
Well, the electorate has changed in a couple of ways. One is more of the rural folks, more blue-collar people voted than in the past. So the expectation about who would be in the voter pool didn't keep up with reality. One thing pollsters like to do at the end is not only survey who's registered, but who's registered, and then they make a determination of who's likely to vote. And if you were looking backwards in time to kind of set your screen for who is likely to vote, you probably understated the number of rural or working class people who were going to vote. And a second is education did not used to be important in this country as a dividing point among voters. This really started under President Obama in about 2010. There had always been a difference in how college educated, let's say people with a 4-year college degree or an advanced degree, voted. They kind of skewed Democratic in recent years, and those without a degree less so. But in about 2010 and afterwards, college and non-college really blew apart to the degree that a white woman with a college degree, that group is 30 points more Democratic than Republican, and a white man without a college degree is 30 points more Republican than Democrat. So if you have too many of the women with degrees in your sample and not enough of the men without degrees in your sample, it doesn't just push your poll off by a little bit. Because those preferences are so skewed toward one party or the other, it pushes your poll off by a lot.
We're speaking with Aaron Zitner, news editor at the Wall Street Journal. He's done a piece about how state polls fell short in 2016, and pollsters have learned from then and tried to account for that. I guess, bottom line, is there confidence that 2020 will be more accurate?
Well, yes and no, because two things are going on. Some pollsters said, yeah, we need to take steps to make sure that the educational mix in our samples, our polling samples, better matches the public. So some pollsters have taken steps to do that and to make extra efforts to reach non-college voters, and some haven't. But the second thing going on is that polling is changing, and because everyone's on the internet now, pollsters are trying more and more different methodologies.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Zitner, news editor at the Wall Street Journal. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. More students are headed back to school in the country's biggest school districts, just as the coronavirus surges. In smaller school districts, careful in-person reopenings in August and September did not lead to a spike in COVID cases. The majority of the 15 largest districts in the nation now have at least some students in school buildings. Dr. Deborah Birx is head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force.
For the next few weeks, to really limit interactions, either in public spaces or in your own house, to your household members.
Spoke on KUTV in Salt Lake City. Elsewhere on the coronavirus front, New York is scrapping its weekly list of states from where visitors had to quarantine and instead implementing a new COVID-19 testing system for all travelers outside contiguous states. California confirmed the 79th COVID death of a state prison inmate. And in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday announced new restrictions for the north central part of the state, including a ban on indoor service at bars and restaurants. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. I've been talking about the great shave I get from Harry's for a long time now, and something big has changed, but something else has not. What's new are their new sharper blades, their sharpest ever. What has not changed, though, is the price. Honestly, I didn't think I could get a better shave, but I was wrong. The new blades are amazingly sharp. In a study with guys who shave four times a week, they reported that with Harry's new blades, shave number 8 was as smooth as shave number 1. And they keep prices steady because they own the factory and control the entire process, from the design to your door, with or without a subscription. Long-lasting, a closer shave, and a 100% quality guarantee. You cannot go wrong. Join my dad, my son, and me as longtime users of Harry's outstanding products by taking advantage of a terrific offer from Harry's. Right now, new customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with the code DEAL at harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3, and they ship it to you for free. Don't forget to use the code DEAL at checkout and give the new sharper blades from Harry's a try. Again, harrys.com, and at checkout, use the code DEAL. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump and challenger Joe Biden have been traveling across the nation as the election race enters its final hours. Trump visited 5 battleground states yesterday, including North Carolina.
If Biden and Harris get in, the economy will collapse and our country will go into at least a free fall, but probably a depression. They want to raise your taxes.
Number two.
Biden spoke at a campaign event in Pennsylvania, a state where the contest is tight.
We're done with the chaos, with the tweets, with the anger, the hate, the failure, the irresponsibility. We've got a lot of work to do. And if I'm elected your president, we're going to do it.
More than 90 million people have already cast their ballots in early voting, putting the country on course for its highest turnout in a century.
Number three.
The FBI is investigating an incident in which a convoy of vehicles flying flags in support of President Trump's re-election bid surrounded a tour bus carrying campaign staff for Joe Biden on a Texas highway. This participant said the event was organized to celebrate a Trump victory.
It gives you chills. It gives you chills. It gives you faith, and it lets you know that we got this.
The Biden campaign says the Trump caravan tried to force the bus to slow down and run it off the road. A 5-day search in Virginia resulted in the recovery of 27 missing children, the latest in a series of operations led by the U.S. Marshals Service that have reunited hundreds of endangered youngsters with their legal guardians this year. More than 60 law enforcement investigators collaborated with the Virginia Department of Social Services, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and a team of medical professionals. The Virginia mission follows similar operations in Ohio, Georgia, Indiana, and other states that have succeeded in taking more than 440 children out of harm's way in 2020. Free food and discounts are up for grabs on Election Day. Krispy Kreme is giving away glazed donuts to all with a special voting sticker while supplies last tomorrow. Planet Fitness is offering a way to work off the stress of the election with a free workout and massage through November 8th. Election Day is also National Sandwich Day, and several restaurants are offering discounts and specials on subs.
Boy, there's just so much to do on Election Day now, it seems.
That's what we're going to do.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. No matter what your business does, there's no question that if you didn't have a digital presence before, you better have one now. But if the things you need to do it, graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, and more, aren't what your business does, that's a problem. But there is a solution, and it's the online marketplace, Fiverr. Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent is ready to help. Whether you're launching your first business, your current business is pivoting, or you're in need of extra support, or you're trying to digitally optimize your business, you can find it instantly with Fiverr. Customize your search by service, deadline, price, and more. And the pricing at Fiverr is project-based, not hourly. So there's no negotiating, no guesswork, and there's 24/7 customer service. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. You're not alone if this election cycle is causing friction between husband and wife. The partisan divide between Republicans and Democrats is also causing trouble for many marriages. This comes as no surprise to Dallas family law attorney Jennifer Hargrave. She's heard from several couples who worry that political differences will end their marriages. She's with us now. Jennifer, what are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, we are definitely hearing from clients who are coming in. And, you know, I don't know that the political conflict is the sole conflict of the marriage, but it certainly is part of the conflict. And, you know, they're just done with it. They're tired of living in a household with somebody who has completely different values. So we're definitely seeing an increase in the divisiveness.
Does this come out of nowhere? Like if a husband and wife like suddenly disagree on a certain issue or certain candidates?
I think just the tenor right now in the political climate is so divisive, and people are just finding that they have very, very different opinions that maybe they didn't know that they had, you know, and I don't know if these are new opinions or if they've had them all the time, but now they're just coming to the surface. But it's just, you know, that discord. So is this coming out of nowhere? I don't know that it's coming out of nowhere. I think probably people have felt that they've got just a lot of differences in their marriage, but this is one of them that's definitely heightened in this political season, for sure.
We're speaking with Jennifer Hargrave, board-certified family law attorney in Dallas, also owner of Hargrave Family Law. We're talking about the friction between husbands and wives this election year. So how often do you find that there are actually other issues and this election friction is the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, we've also had that combined with COVID, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think unfortunately there's just a cumulative effect right now for a lot of marriages where, you know, if you had your normal activities, your normal trips, maybe business trips, you're traveling away from the home, you're not stuck at home all the time with each other. But, you know, the current circumstances, everybody's in each other's face and there's really nowhere to go. And I think people are just exasperated and not finding healthy ways to cope with the stress and tension of being in each other's space all the time.
Wow. So this stuff, I guess, has the potential to linger beyond Election Day.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, seeds of resentment get sown in misunderstandings and not taking time to appreciate and spend time and be with each other. And, you know, once the resentment is sown, it can be very hard to overcome. So, you know, one of the things I do when somebody comes into my office is, you know, we try and help them get clarity about whether divorce is really the right option for them. You know, if they can go work with a marriage counselor and they have a desire to do so, I always give them references for that because I think it's really important to try and work on your marriage first if you can. You know, divorce shouldn't be just the first option. But, you know, for some people, they've been living with this for a very long time, and it's just sort of boiled over.
That is Jennifer Hargrave, Dallas family law attorney. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Josh, what are Michigan's best selling points?
The biggest selling point for Michigan is our pure Michigan quality of life. We also have a diverse and abundant workforce and a business-friendly environment that we think is unmatched. It's also very connected to global supply chain assets. And through a comprehensive suite of programs and services, we can help businesses grow here in this state and also help provide access to our highly skilled workforce, where we have the highest concentration of engineers and some of the greatest skilled trades talent as well. Here in Michigan, we make things, and we think we can be the convergence of technology and manufacturing, and there is no better place to bring your idea or product from concept to reality than here in Michigan.
To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone.
Exclusive stories and unique perspectives. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome into Monday, November 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump and Biden blitz battleground states. A federal judge today holds an emergency hearing over a move to dismiss drive-through votes in a Texas county. More states respond to spikes in coronavirus cases. Tropical Storm Eta has formed in the Caribbean. An asteroid the size of a refrigerator zooms past Earth today. If you missed it over the weekend, James Bond actor Sean Connery died at the age of 90. Eagles over the Cowboys in Sunday Night Football. And the four-year-old twins who won Halloween with their political costumes. That story in about 20 minutes. White House officials hope that sending states rapid COVID-19 tests would encourage their use in reopening schools. Health officials in some states say they are beginning to offer testing to students and teachers, but they're still finessing how to determine who should be tested and how frequently that should occur. It's a story by Mary Ellen McIntyre, reporter at CQ Roll Call. Mary Ellen, a lot of unanswered solutions.
Yeah, unanswered solutions is a great way of putting it. Just to back up a step, the White House announced about a month ago that they were going to be providing about 100,000 rapid COVID tests to states and then sort of leaving it up to states to say, okay, how are you going to use these tests? But primarily, you know, they said use these to help reopen schools, help schools stay open, and to reopen your economy. So what I found is that a lot of states are, in fact, looking to use these tests in schools, but it's not quite as easy as just saying, okay, here you go, school nurse, conduct the testing. And that's for a couple of different reasons. You know, one is that not every school is going to have, you know, a large enough school nursing staff to test everyone every day. Right. That would take just several hours, a lot of manpower, and it costs a lot of money that a lot of school districts right now just don't have to, you know, either partner with a pharmacy or some other, you know, local health system that could help with that. That's money that a lot of states and local governments right now just don't have.
Wow. All right. So this could vary from one school district to the next, including ones that might be right next door to each other, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Well, it depends a lot about, you know, numbers, how many students, how many teachers, and things like that. And, you know, one thing that I did learn is that, you know, with COVID testing, it's really not something that, as we know, by itself is going to prevent an outbreak, but it can be a good arbiter of, you know, how is a community doing with handling COVID. And it can make people, you know, students, parents, teachers, staff, feel more comfortable going back into the classroom, you know, if they are aware that people are being tested and they might find out, you know, if other people or themselves, you know, do have COVID.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mary Ellen McIntyre, staff writer at CQ Roll Call, and she's written a good piece entitled Schools Weigh Plans for Rapid COVID-19 Tests. Explain the example you found in Mississippi.
Yeah. So in Mississippi, you know, one thing I found is that, you know, states are really taking a lot of different approaches here. So in Mississippi, they have sort of taken a less targeted approach. And what they told me is that, you know, they have testing sites with both rapid tests and PCR tests that are processed at a lab available around the state so that, you know, anyone, teachers, students can go get tested as frequently as they want. And that's a little bit different from, you know, the approach that other states are taking. You know, for example, Arkansas right now is testing teachers because teachers are more likely proportionally and they have found to either get COVID and, of course, adults are more likely to have more severe symptoms of the disease if they do contract it than students are. So definitely some varying approaches across states, which, you know, is unsurprising, but interesting to sort of see how each state's approach will pan out in the coming months.
Yeah. All right. So when we talk about schools, I think most of us think of K through 12, but what about on the college level?
Yeah, this is something that's really interesting. Colleges have definitely taken very different approaches to this, and it really depends, I think, a lot about the college setting. We've seen a lot of reports in the last couple of months of, you know, large state schools, large public universities that are very, you know, amorphous in their communities, having to go on two-week lockdowns to try to get a handle of, you know, COVID outbreaks. At the same time, some of the smaller universities up in New England and in the northern part of the country that are really close to labs have pretty thorough testing regimes in which they're testing students, you know, once a week to a couple of times a week, and that can be required or voluntary depending on how much they do it. So really different approaches here. It's very different for colleges than K-12 settings. Obviously, in a K-12 setting, you have students going home at the end of the day. Hard to say whether or not someone's going to be going out into the community and things like that. In a lot of college settings, you know, it's just at the college campus. And if students and faculty are, you know, aren't leaving the direct area quite as much, it can be easier to, you know, keep the number of cases down if you're really keeping everyone, you know, enclosed in the community.
Yeah. And these rapid tests, back up for just a second, you learn results in 15 minutes, an hour? What's generally the rule of thumb?
The results come in about 15 minutes compared to, I don't know if you've been or listeners have been tested, but lab results can take, you know, anywhere from, you know, 24 hours to a couple of days. Mm-hmm. One thing that a lot of people did caution is, and that they're trying to, you know, figure out in the, as they're planning their strategies, is that the rapid tests are not as accurate as a lab test.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen McIntyre, reporter at CQ Roll Call. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin. Hey, listen, this is your last one before Election Day.
Oh, boy.
This is important.
The most important mic drop until the next mic drop.
People will be paying. They need this today. We need this.
All right. Well, here we go. Well, we know, Gordon Deal, you drink your coffee mainly for the flavored creamer, which is why this life hack by a TikTok user could be a life changer for you. In particular, a user named CarlyRose352 posted a video recently showing an easy hack for breaking through the foil seal of bottles of creamer. After first describing, then demonstrating the problem, she takes the unscrewed cap of the bottle and opens it, exposing the inside lip of the cap that protrudes downward. She then presses the open cap onto the foil, causing it to easily break open without the potential mess of using your thumb. Carly says she's been drinking coffee since she was 17 years old and just discovered this hack, and she's apparently not the only one. Her video demo went viral and has been viewed hundreds of thousands of times. Users commented on the video, calling it life-changing and saying that their minds were blown. Another wondered why this kind of important information isn't taught to us in school. Mm. So I retrieved your creamer from the fridge as sort of a visual aid here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you flip open the cap, you got that sort of inside ring.
Right.
You know, unscrew it. Then you take this, the top part, put it on top of the foil, press down, and then that's how you open it up.
It's very clever. The problem with doing that is that you miss out on a key reward. So with those things, with the foil coverings, I use my teeth. And when I peel it off with my teeth, then I can lick the creamer that's on the underside of the foil covering.
Oh, boy.
So there's a little reward in that.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, even pre-COVID, that would have been a disgusting description. And now, you know, given what's happened in the last 8 months, I don't know if I can even, I don't even want to know about that.
Yeah,
luckily,
fine.
I don't use this creamer. Let's put this is your creamer and your creamer alone.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm disposing of the foil covering. It's not like I put it back on.
I don't know. Between all the teeth and the licking of things. Yeah, you're talking about. I don't want to know about it.
Let's just be honest. This CarlyRose352 is far more clever than I am.
Yeah. She's got it down.
But she doesn't get the creamer flavor reward. You know, as part of that.
And we know that being under the influence of alcohol can distort your perception of reality. One suspected drunk driver in Nevada must have thought that he landed on another planet after he was pulled over on Saturday morning by a Star Wars stormtrooper. An off-duty state trooper named Britta Foch was on her way home from a Halloween party in the early hours of Saturday when she encountered a Toyota Prius with tire damage attempting to enter I-15 going the wrong way. The costumed trooper, without having to use blasters or conjure up any force powers, was able to stop the vehicle and call in on-duty troopers to deal with the driver, who was arrested on suspicion of DUI, not to mention driving without a valid driver's license and 2 traffic violations.
Wow.
Just for good measure.
Could you imagine, though, if all police, like in unison, tried this on a single day?
I know.
Just dressed up in costumes like this and totally played it off as normal?
Oh, yeah.
Without breaking character?
That would be a good time.
Wow. Yeah. There would be stories to tell.
Yes.
That would be something. Very good. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending part of your Monday with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. A new study by Visa Back to Business finds nearly 7 in 10 small businesses see their winter holiday season as a top sales opportunity. CNBC.com put together 6 ways small businesses can boost holiday sales. Number 1, think digital. That means having the capability to sell online. If you're shipping, make sure to let customers know the cutoff date for shipping by Christmas. Number 2, talk about safety. Businesses that have in-person interactions are letting customers know how they're keeping people safe. Number 3, prepare to pivot. For example, yoga studios have moved all of their classes online. A dog boarding business has become a mobile dog groomer. Number 4, celebrate your workers. If you can't have a traditional holiday party, offer something like an extra paid day off. Number 5, don't forget about self-care. Take a day or two where you can refresh and rejuvenate. And number 6, lean into your role. Consumers are well aware of the challenges faced by all businesses this year, and many want to do their part to help. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the 3 big things you need to know. Number 1.
As campaigning comes closer to a close, President Trump held rallies in Iowa, Michigan, North Carolina, and Georgia yesterday, followed later by Florida, all states where polls suggest a tight race, in Rome, Georgia.
I was elected to fight for you, and I fight for you harder and meaner and stronger than any president has ever fought for you.
Number 2.
At a rally in Philadelphia, Joe Biden addressed the city's black community, vowing to address systemic racism and attacking the president's handling of the pandemic, something that has disproportionately affected African Americans.
Imagine where we'd be if this president just wore a mask instead of mocked it from the beginning.
Biden also courted Latino voters with a tweet in Spanish, speaking of the separation of migrant families at the border.
Number 3.
President Trump suggested he will fire Anthony Fauci after the election as his rift with the nation's top infectious disease expert widens, while the nation sees its most alarming outbreak of the coronavirus since the spring. Speaking at a campaign rally in Florida, Trump expressed frustration that the virus remains prominent in the news, sparking chants of "Fire Fauci" from his supporters. He responded, "Don't tell anybody, but let me wait until a little bit after the election." Trump's comments come after Fauci leveled his sharpest criticism yet of the White House's response to the coronavirus, telling the Washington Post the U.S. will have to deal with a whole lot of hurt in the weeks ahead. Dr. Deborah Birx warned of a broad surge of the pandemic across the country as the weather cools. She spoke with ABC.
For the next few weeks, to really limit interactions, either in public spaces or in your own house, to your household members.
Burke says she does not yet see improvements in Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Wisconsin. Tropical storm Eta has formed in the Central Caribbean, becoming the 28th named storm of the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season, a new record. And this season also holds the record for the most tropical systems to make landfall in the U.S. with 11. Uber wants to help you vote. The ride-hailing giant enabling users to request an absentee ballot through the Uber and Uber Eats apps. It's also discounting rides to local polling stations and working with agencies to get people to volunteer as poll workers.
Good. All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. A mom in Oklahoma claims she's been waiting 4 years to dress her twin girls as the 2020 presidential candidates. Adria Garza from Edmond told Fox News she first came up with the costume idea right after her twins were born in 2016. It would appear that Ms. Garza has also used the past 4 years to fine-tune her idea, zeroing in on several tiny touches to make the costumes so much more true to life. She found that a couple of suits made for little boys, added flag pins, plus aviator sunglasses and a mask for the Biden costume. She used a spray tan for the other girl's Trump costume. The mom further clarified on TikTok that her girls love dressing up. A post containing images of the girls' previous costumes has been viewed nearly 3 million times. In addition to their Trump and Biden costumes, Ms. Garza revealed on social media that she's
had several other costumes planned for her kids, including Dalmatians, circus performers inspired by The Greatest Showman, and even the Coneheads from Saturday Night Live. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.